This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, a look at advances in neurosurgery and the treatment of brain tumors. First up, local companies are finding new ways to attract, retain, and promote women to executive roles. And here to talk about what companies can do to support women, our Fifth Third Bank Chief Administrative Officer, Teresa Tanner, Procter & Gamble Vice President of Human Resources for North America, Tracy Grabowski, Director of Client Relations for Strategic HR, Kathleen Snyder, and Fairy God Boss President and Co-Founder, Rami Newman. You can join us, 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And I always give that phone number out as a habit. It's almost automatic at this point. But since we have two guests by phone, no phone calls, I apologize. But you can still join us by emailing talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Teresa, Kathleen, Tracy, and Romy, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
As far as what can companies do to support women, let's start off by talking about that. And Teresa, Fifth Third has quite a few things underway.
Sure.
What are you doing to support women?
Well, we're most excited about the new program that we launched this year. It's the Maternity Concierge. And I tell you, the reason why we first began to think about this offering was because we're very concerned about making sure we have the right female talent in our pipeline. And, you know, we know that unless we have the right representation at the very top of the company, we're never going to be able to serve our customers, and we're never going to be the best bank we can be. So, first of all, it's important for us to have all the right representation at the very top. When we begin to look at our pipeline and understand why we weren't getting that talent at the top of the house, we saw something really interesting. Women were self-selecting out at a very specific time in their life. And as we began to study this further and talk to our employees, we saw that it was around that mid-career time when they were beginning to plan and have families. And as we looked into it, we saw that that year that a mother, a new mother, has a child, that first year as they return to work, we were seeing double the amount of attrition than any other time in the career. So we saw a unique opportunity to do an intervention to step in and help women during this very critical time of having babies. So the Maternity Concierge is that helping hand that can help them manage and do it all.
How does that work exactly?
Well, they can, as soon as they find out they're pregnant, there is a maternity concierge powered by Best Upon Request, and they call that concierge and they say, hey, I'm going to have a baby. And from the time they know they're pregnant all the way until that child turns one, it's kind of their personal assistant. That person can help them find a pediatrician. They can help them go shopping. They can help them figure out how to nurse while on the job. They can do their grocery shopping for them and run errands and plan bridal showers or baby showers. It just goes on and on.
So does it benefit the fathers as well? I mean, is there some amount of paternity benefit in this as well?
Well, so we have a paternity benefit that we're getting ready to launch this fall that will allow for 4 weeks of paid leave for both mothers and fathers. This program specifically helps the mother during that pregnancy journey and actually having the child and returning back to work. But certainly allowing that parental bonding time for both mothers and fathers once the child is born is important.
And the concierge is on top of the traditional maternity benefits that Fifth Third provides. Is that right?
It is. So it's above and beyond the paid leave they get.
What are some other things that you're doing to address supporting women?
Well, we have a number of different things, and again, all helping women stay in the workforce if they choose to do that and help them grow their careers. Another new innovative program that we launched just a couple of years ago was a Women in Leadership program, and it is a program that specifically targets high-potential women just a few layers down in the organization, those that have opportunities and potential to get to C-suite positions. It's a 10-month cohort program, and we bring these women together for a variety of experiences that really help them accelerate their development.
Tracy, talk about P&G and what P&G is doing as far as supporting its women employees.
Great. Happy to. So like Teresa, we certainly have a need for great talent at all levels of our organization. And I think many people know about P&G that we are largely a build from within company. So the vast majority of our employees will start with us at entry level and then progress. So retaining those employees and women especially is really important to us because we don't have the option of just going out and hiring somebody off the street to replace somebody that we've lost. So we really try to look at it throughout the course of a woman's career. What are the things that we can do to support her? So about a year ago, we introduced a new maternity policy. It's actually a parental leave policy. So for any birth mother or adoptive mother, 16 weeks of paid leave. And like you, one of the things we found is the need for make it simple is really important at this at any time, but particularly at this point in your life. So we also took it out of the complicated administrative handling that we used to have and just said we're going to do salary continuation for the time that the person is out having the child and bonding with their child. We also have a parental leave program, which is 4 weeks of paid leave, and that is for fathers or partners, and also recognizing that families are formed in a wide variety of ways. We have adoptive benefits I mentioned, as well as if you would bring a new child into your home through a guardianship or foster parenting or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Romy, tell us about Fairy God Boss. What's your organization about?
We're a business that's designed to help improve the workplace for women everywhere by creating transparency. Our platform allows women to leave free, anonymous reviews on the site about their workplace experiences. We were founded 2 years ago, right after my co-founder was fired from her job when she was 2 months pregnant. She realized that she wanted to look for new opportunities and new jobs. But as a new mother, she wanted to know which companies would be more friendly to her situation, and she would not have to sacrifice career potential as a woman and as a mother. And she wanted to hear it directly from current female employees. So we gather those reviews online. And, you know, we hear from a lot of women that the thing they value most, or one of the things, and certainly these programs are exceptional, and an extended maternity leave program is so critical to our users because, as you may know, nearly 90% of women in the United States still do not have access to paid leave through their employer. So really have to applaud companies like Fifth Third Bank and Procter & Gamble that are raising the bar and setting a better standard, even as they're helping their current employees. So women definitely care about parental leave. I think it's also critically important that men are given parental leave because that helps reinforce this notion that they will be highly involved and that things like grocery shopping don't need to fall just to women. Mm-hmm. And so that's very important. But the other thing that we know that is very important to women is the ability to have flexible working schedules or remote working arrangements, at least part-time. As they start to manage a new family, a younger family, their children are home more, and having the ability to have some give or take in their schedule is very important. It's important to women and it's important to men.
You know, that's an interesting point you bring up about flexible schedules, because when my wife first started working, those were just starting to come into vogue, and you're seeing more and more companies offer those. They really did come in extremely beneficial. They were very handy when we had kids. So,
and we were at a place where technology...
Kathleen, go ahead, and then we'll come back to Romy.
I work with a outsourced HR management firm, and we work with a lot of smaller to medium sized businesses. And I'm love what P&G and what Fifth Third is able to do. Unfortunately, that's not quite as feasible sometimes, or you know, budget. It's not in the budget. It's a little more difficult to do for a smaller company. So the flexibility is a huge piece of what they can do. You know, if they can offer flexible start times, or you know, even through the recruiting process, as we're working with hiring managers, what very specifically what positions is there some flexibility on? Some there's just not, but what can we do, and what positions are there some of that flexibility? Are there work at home options? Are there you know, can we kind of let the employee work what hours work best for them, and offering a little bit of latitude there? That's what we see a lot from some of the smaller firms that we work with, or even up to the medium-sized firms. You know, it's challenging to offer somebody 12 weeks of paid leave, and many are trying to step that up. But then you also, especially in a particularly small firm, well, what do I, no one's there to do that job for 12 weeks, and that presents its own challenges of having to work around that. So they definitely meet, there's challenges that come up, but I know a lot of smaller or medium-sized employers are really working hard to try and offer some of that for just that reason, because they see the value that, you know, you hate to lose a woman in the workforce just because she's a certain time in her life when she starts just wants to start a family. They are very, very much want to try and keep them engaged in the work.
I would agree. I think that, you know, a couple of things, Romy, that you said around gender roles. I do think it's important that we allow some of this flexibility, both for men and women, because, you know, so often what we've seen and what I've heard from some of our employees is, you know, absolutely, I think that we need to offer as much flexibility, part-time schedules, et cetera. But that can also come at a price to women's career, and it can slow that career trajectory. So I think you need a blended solution where not only do you have flexibility, part-time options, but you also have cultural things as well as processes in place that allow the women to share responsibility in a different way and to be supported to also continue on a full-time track. So I don't think that this problem can be solved with a single solution. I think it's much more complex.
One of the things that we see happen and that we encourage to happen is just supporting a woman who wants to pursue a leadership, who wants to pursue an upward rise in her career. And sometimes that can be done other ways as well. So yes, partnering with them through the family process or the maternity process, but also coupling that with mentoring or, you know,
right,
offering mentoring opportunities or even being supportive. We're lucky here in Cincinnati, there are a number of different organizations that offer women's leadership programming. And if nothing else, being supportive if she wants to take some time away from her position to attend that programming or be involved in a leadership, you know, an ongoing leadership workshop that we happen to have available here locally. Just things like that can kind of supplement to the other initiatives directed specifically for someone, the maternity or the paternity or the, you know, someone in her family time of, you know, a woman who's in a family role as well. But also supplementing that with some of these other areas is kind of adds to that level of support.
Right. Well, and I would also say on the contrary, I think there can be bias against mothers in our society and then in our workplace. And so we see, oh, that she just had a new baby. She probably doesn't want this new assignment.
Right.
Or this new project will go to someone else. And I think it's really important to keep women engaged through those years after having children, because otherwise she may be thinking, well, it's just not worth it for me anymore. I am not getting the same fulfillment out of my work as I was, so it's not worth it for me to be away from home.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us by emailing talk@wvxu.org or finding us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and here to discuss what companies can do to support and promote women in executive roles are Fifth Third Bank Chief Administrative Officer Teresa Tanner, Procter & Gamble Vice President of Human Resources for North America, Tracy Grabowski, Director of Client Relations for Strategic HR, Kathleen Snyder, and Fairy Godboss President and Co-Founder Rami Newman. You can join us by emailing talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Romy, how are companies doing today compared with, say, 20 or 30 years ago in terms of supporting women in the workplace?
Well, I think we've definitely seen market advances in terms of programming, in terms of empathy and understanding, But unfortunately, it hasn't necessarily translated into numbers. The percentage of women in leadership roles remains very low for the exact reasons that Teresa was outlining, that women, there's attrition after childbearing that goes to many, many factors. But I think that there is a renewed emphasis on it these days in an extraordinary way. And I think this notion of understanding both that we all need to find a way to incorporate women, that it has tangible benefits to shareholder value, which is the most important thing to deliver on for any company, and that that child rearing is not just the responsibility of the mother. I think more and more companies are really starting to see that and understand that. You've really seen that in this last wave of companies that have been enhancing their parental leave policies in dramatic ways. Sometimes we call it the parental leave arms race, and it's our favorite arms race to watch, unlike some of the others that are going on. So we definitely see more companies committed to it than ever. More companies have a chief inclusion officer or chief diversity officer. This is definitely a much more important priority for companies than it has ever been.
Would you agree with that, Tracy?
I definitely would. I've been at P&G for 28 years, and you really see and feel the cultural change around that. This idea that we're talking about, that in order for women to progress, men will share responsibility both at work and at home, I think, is really taking hold. It makes sense to people, and so they want to do things in support of that. And I think about the, you know, many thousands of employees that we have in the U.S. at P&G, and each one of them has a very full life outside of work as well. And if we can find ways to help them figure that out and make their lives simpler, then we get more of them and more contributions from them. So we see all kinds of things going throughout the lifespan of our employees during the time that they're with us, from they might need help with elder care, they might want to participate in our fitness center, we have some on-site child care. We have lots of, we don't have a concierge service like you have at Fifth Third, although it sounds wonderful, but we do have on-site banking and on-site dry cleaning and things that we know can help take the little stresses out of the employees' lives. And I do think that, those types of things can really play a role in creating a more equal sort of environment between men and women, and therefore creating opportunity for both men and women in the workplace.
Are more large companies offering on-site daycare and that type of benefit?
Well, I don't know if more companies are, but we do know that child care is a big consideration for our employees. So, you know, we have child care assistance at our Madisonville operations. We partner with the YMCA to offer that. But we know that these are big issues and, you know, emergency care.
Hang on just a second here. Let her finish, then we'll come back to you.
Emergency care is another thing that gets a lot of conversation right now because, you know, there's unexpected things that come up. You know, child care providers get sick or children get sick or have to work longer hours. So it's something that we need to continue to think about how we can support our employees.
And go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, no, I completely agree. And I did just want to point out that on the radio for everyone to hear that child care is a place that this country just falls terribly short compared to other developed countries in the world. And we don't have enough access to quality, affordable child care for employees. And in fact, that is one of the main factors that drives women out of the workforce. So to the extent that companies can support in child care, whether on site is sort of like a best case scenario, but backup child care is certainly available through a company like Bright Horizons, or even child care subsidies are incredibly valued. But it is somewhere we really lag other developed nations in the world and would love to see that change.
If businesses are looking for other reasons of why should I care, why should I do this, we all know that our unemployment in this country right now is extremely low. I think I saw the figures last week come out at 4.3%. So in many areas, the country is fully employed, and it is hard to find good talent and hard to find good people. So from the perspective of keeping who you have, if you can be, you know, have some flexibility with these things, the more programming and things you can offer, that's going to help you keep the people that you have. But it's also going to make you an employer of choice when you're looking to attract new people to bring to your team or bring to your hire. And again, regardless of how large or small the business is, the more, you know, if even just small steps or small things that you might be able to do to be supportive of you know, a woman in the workforce who also has a family, whether she, you know, she may be a single mother, whether she may be married with the father in the picture or not. All of those, there's so many different scenarios of what a family looks like in our world today that anything an employer can do to just acknowledge that and be supportive is going to go a long way towards being able to attract the exceptional talent that we're all looking for that's so hard to find right now, and also to keep the people that you have.
Kathleen, mentoring came up earlier in the conversation, so mm-hmm. I'd like to go back to that. How crucial is mentoring?
I love the concept of mentoring, whether it's for women, whether it's for men, whether it's, you know, wherever you are in your career. It can be extremely valuable, but also for women, I actually am fortunate myself. I mentor a couple of young women, and it's somebody who is a little bit more experienced in their career can set an example or provide insights or share information and just be supportive and all of those kind of things. It overlaps on both the personal level, the relationship that they can have, and, you know, kind of like a, hey, I've been in your shoes trying to balance and juggle all this, and here's some things that I did, here's some ideas, here's some suggestions, or here's what, you know, you might look into. And also from a professional level then of mentoring someone who maybe is coming up in their career and a career related to mine, that I can share those professional experiences and offer that professional guidance as well. And again, not just women can benefit from mentoring. Men benefit from mentoring along the way as well. It is important that it's done right and that there is some kind of structure, or there's at least a expectations or set of any type of mentoring program, any type of mentoring relationship, and make sure that those involved are on the same page of what to expect of those types of programs. But mentoring can have tremendous benefits all the way around, but especially for women in the workforce, and to be supportive as they face challenges as they work their way through their career.
Tracy.
Yeah, so at P&G, we do have, as you recommended, a sort of formal way of doing mentoring. But I think even more importantly, mentoring is just a really fundamental part of the culture. It's expected and very much the norm that people turn around and help others coming up behind them to develop and grow. And like you said, it's definitely for men and women and benefits those. But, you know, one of the things that we measure that I feel good about at P&G is, are you doing the work you need to do to build your business? And are you building the organization at the same time? And having that sort of fundamentally in your culture is an important supplement to sort of a formal process.
Totally agree. And that's very similar.
But my advice. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
My advice to young women, though, in addition to that, is it's a two-way street mentoring, right? And if you want to excel, if you want to have a career, and this is young women, this is women who've had children, you should build your own personal board of directors for your career. You should seek out advice. And when you work with mentors, you should see what you can do to help them as well, because I think that helps make mentoring relationships more successful and lasting and fruitful.
Teresa?
Totally agree. And it is so important that women also take the initiative to find those people that they want to emulate, that has leadership characteristics and has visibility into a different part of the organization than they have. So often women sit back and wait to be assigned a mentor or to have this development come to them. And I always encourage women to go out and seek those that can enhance your leadership experience, both men and women.
You know, more young people are waiting longer to marry, or they're choosing not to marry or have kids. Do you see more young people, and we'll direct this to Kathleen, do we see more young people these days focusing on career?
I think it can depend on the individual. A lot of times, and I was just reading an article the other day, a lot of times it's almost out of necessity, because if you're coming out of college, so many have such high student loan debt and things like that, that they don't have an option but to go to work, because they've got obligations that they need to, you know, they need to start paying back that student loan debt. So yeah, sometimes that does put off starting the family or buying the house or some of those personal goals that they might have. So yes, we do see that to a certain extent. It can also depend on the individual and just what your own career goals are, what your own personal goals are, as far as what direction that goes. But I would say overall, we do see it. People are starting a little bit later in life.
So, Teresa, where's Fifth Third taking this? What's the next step for your company?
Well, I don't know what the next step is, but we know that we will measure success when we have more representation at all levels in the company. We'll measure success when we have the talent we need that helps us serve our customers better. And although the program is new, we are seeing incredible initial results. We have over 200 people in the program. We get stories every day about how people just could not have continued working without the support. So we know we're on the right track, and we will continue to measure our results and enhance this program as needed and other programs.
And Tracy, for P&G, how does P&G measure the success of what it's doing?
Well, very much the same way that we figure out what we need to do on our products by learning from our consumers. We also try to have our employees help us with what they need, right? Because as Teresa's saying, the needs change over time, the context changes, and people's lives are very different. And so we ask them, and they are pretty generous in telling us what they're looking for and what would look like help to them. We did do a survey recently of the couple of hundred people who were the first ones to go through our new parental leave program. And 99% of them told us they were very pleased with it. And importantly to me, were telling us that their managers were supportive of them, which I think is a great indication of success.
Tracy, I wanted to just comment on that because that is so true. I want to make sure that I say the innovation for this maternity concierge came directly from our employees. When I met with women and said, "What is hard? Why are you struggling?" It was exactly this that they raised up. So I would just encourage any listener that has the ability to listen to their employees. The answers are often right there.
Well, thanks to all of you for joining us this afternoon. Fifth Third Bank Chief Administrative Officer Teresa Tanner, Procter & Gamble Vice President of Human Resources for North America Tracy Grabowski, Director of Client Relations for Strategic HR Kathleen Snyder, and Fairy Godboss President and Co-Founder Rami Newman. Coming up, we'll talk about brain tumor diagnosis and treatment and advances in neurosurgery. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.